So what is the most important thing in opening up the heart is confidence in the person. The person who is opening the heart to you, he has an expectation from you that you will keep it confidential. The moment you come to know something which is very, very confidential and very scintillating information, you just don't tell everybody in the world, see, I came to know today. This is happening. This is what is happening. Then the person gets broken hearted totally. That her or his private things are open now and they are open to public also. So one of the most important caution that we should take in opening up one's heart is confidence. Confidentiality or secrecy, you can say. Keeping it to yourself only. And a successful counselor is that person who never reveals anybody's secrets to anybody. Like maybe if I am counseling two people, say for example, having conflict, so she has conflict with her and something she tells me and something she tells me. But both things have to be kept confidential. They are not to be shared, what she told to her, what she told to her or to anybody else also. At all point of time, there should be only one way traffic. It goes here and goes in, no out. And separately in and separately out, and separately in from all directions. They don't get mixed up also. Suddenly while telling something to somebody else, third party, not both of them. I just mentioned some of the things what has been told. Yeah, that has to be controlled. At no point of time you have to reveal anybody's confidential information to anybody else. Then only people will trust you. And the trust is most important thing in the relationship. If the trust is not there, then where is the question of the relationship? After trust, love comes. First comes trust. And you have to win the trust. You cannot just say, I have trust. You know, enough trust is there. No, the person should feel trust in you. Then only the person will open the heart. Otherwise, the person will not open the heart. So, one of our important leaders in ISKCON said one time, he is no more now, he has left his world. In 1994, in Vrindavan, he said that all the temples, all the churches, all the mosques, all the holy places, all the places of prayers are supposed to be the places where people can also associate in confidence with one another. Because everybody in the material world has, you know, problems, right? Even if you are a devotee, you love the Lord, but still you have some problems which are hindering your progress. You have something, a son is not well, or your wife is like this, or you don't have money, or you don't have a house to stay. So many things are there. There are so many difficulties are there. You have a disease which is not curable. It affects your devotional progress sometimes. But that can't be discussed everywhere. No? I have this problem. Somebody is newly married and then the wife is diagnosed to have in first month only some disease, no? Which is not expected to be. So it's not to be told in the whole world that, you know, that person got married last month. She is diagnosed to have this. He is diagnosed to have that. It's very, very confidential. It's like very painful and also confidential. They don't want to reveal it to everybody. When my child baby was born, for 1 year I didn't tell anybody that this is how it is. I just said baby is born, that's all. Name was told to everybody, but I didn't tell. Even today also in the hometown, I've never taken my wife and baby and I've not even told anybody that I've got a baby who is brain damaged. That I feel that, you know, to some people I'll feel comfortable to tell. Some people I'll feel, no, I don't want to tell. It is my individual feeling. And nobody can break that individual feeling and say, no, what is the problem? No, already 7 years have passed now. What is the secret about it? But it is my inner feeling that I don't want to tell like that. So that confidentiality is most important. So many relationships in the world are broken because somebody broke the confidentiality. You may keep it for 5 years and after 5th year you open everybody. Even then the relationships are destroyed. But sometimes secrets are for lifelong. They die with you. They go with you. And that's ideal actually. You never told anybody. You know. Sometimes some counselors who are fat, they tell that he's fat because all the secrets he's storing in his abdomen. It's not coming out. That's what they say. It's a compliment that this person is so mature that when someone comes and opens up, he doesn't tell anybody. It respects that person's confidentiality, the privacy of the person. So one of the most important factors of developing relationship is confidentiality. So he says our temples, our churches, our mosques, our place of prayer should become such a place, environment wise, not ambience wise, not flower pot wise or color wise. It should be a place where people should feel like, okay, there is one devotee here, there is one priest here, there is one person who is a monk here. I can open up my heart and I can get relieved of my anxieties or tensions or frustrations, and I will get a push in my devotion to Lord. Things are same, but if I talk to him or her, then I feel relieved. I feel hope. I get hope. And I feel...
Even in administration, sir, it is very important. If only the people will come and they will open up with
you. So the more senior you become, the more mature you have to become to keep the confidence. Confidentiality of others. As a madam, you people will come to you and tell you something about husband, something about the brother-in-law, many things will happen because they love you and they feel confidence in you. They will tell off the bit, not of the professional work. Something they will tell, madam, aisa ho raha hai mere ghar pe, what to do. And you may give some advice also of your experience. But then by mistake also you tell your daughter-in-law in home while just casual talking to her. That is also not good. The habit of telling only should be removed. Even if you are in Timbuktu in the world, you should not reveal to anybody in the some discussion over there also. That kind of confidentiality has to be there. Okay, nowhere, even if you tell in Africa somebody, she will never come to know, but still you should not tell. That is your dignity as a counselor or a senior person. So then when that trust comes, on the trust, based on that trust, when there are discussions and opening of heart, then gradually love develops. But then you feel that, yes, this person is really compassionate, kind to me. Then in appreciation, the love develops. And that is what is expected amongst devotees. Remember that. And devotees doesn't mean Muslim devotees or Hare Krishna devotees or, you know, Ganpati devotees. Devotees means devotee of the Lord. All walks of life, everywhere in the world, whenever, whoever believes and has faith in the Almighty, they should have such kind of relationships of love and affection. Because of love affection, our love and affection for the Lord grows. Because we don't know the Lord today. We are still trying to understand. We are trying to read scriptures, trying to associate with devotees, trying to discuss and understand. But I know you and you know me. We are together, right? And if I have attraction for the Lord and you also have attraction for the Lord, and if I can't get along with you, how do you feel that you will get along with the Lord afterwards? You don't get along with these people who they love or whom he loves, or they love him and you don't like them. So how do you expect one day to like the Lord? Liking the Lord and loving the Lord means you love him and all that is connected with him you love. That is real love, no? Like I come to your house and say, you know, I only love you. I don't love your husband, not child, not your nobody I love. Only I love you. So they feel, what kind of love is this, you know? I love everybody in my house. So if you love me, that means you love everybody in my house. It can't be a singled out love. Like I want to get married with you, but I don't love like your mother, I don't like your brother, I don't like your father, I don't like anybody in your house. I only like you. So can that marriage be successful? Not possible. Practically impossible, because you have to interact with your mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, whatever, sister-in-law or father-in-law. They'll be coming somewhere in the picture, na, somewhere. And you can't say, I just hate them. I only love you. So somewhere that love that you have for your wife will also get strained, because she knows that she loves her father and you hate her father. So then how the love is expressed that way? It's not possible. That means if I love you, I love you with all your faults and all your entourage also. That's how it should be. So similarly, if I say I love the Lord, but I don't like this devotee and I don't like that devotee. Now what kind of love is this? If he loves the devotee, you have to love the devotee because you love him. If your love is true for the Lord, then you have to love the person whom he loves. That's why he said, no, that if you love me, love my dog. So you express the love for the master first by, you know, doing some play with the dog and pleasing him. The master says, yes, yes. You like my dog and I like you also. It's like that. In America it is said. So point to discuss is this, that we have to first learn to get along with the God-loving people in this world. That is our effort to convince the Lord, yes, I love you. That's why I know there are differences between me and her and him, But because I love you, I will adjust with the differences and still get along and love your followers. That is my expression of my love for you, that I love your followers. That is why Jesus Christ washed the apostles' feet, to tell people that my loving me is not important. It's not the only important thing. If you love me, love all my followers and treat the least of all of you as you treat me. He exemplified himself, this is what the meaning of love. It's not superficial, these are the depths of love. And all the great personalities ultimately expect the same thing, that the devotees of the Lord should love and cooperate and like one another as their sacrifice to get the love of the Lord. Right? Suppose all are devotees of the Lord and I like 11 of you and one I don't like. Still don't like you. Because Lord loves all 12 of you. All 50 of you, all hundreds of you. So you can't say, I love the Lord, but 51 only I love and 49 I don't love. It's not possible. That means there's some deficiency, some false ego, some pride, some envy, something is there. So that's not appreciated by the Lord. So these same principles of devotional relationships can be applied to everywhere in life. In family life, with your mother, father, in-laws, everybody, with your colleagues in the office, with your team of work, with whatever your office are there, everywhere. Professionally or in home level, everywhere the same thing applies. Wherever you need to develop love, you need to apply these principles of acceptance, of tolerance, of accommodation, adjustment has to be there. Otherwise, your family life will not be successful. Your professional life will not be successful. You may be a very good teacher, but you still cannot be successful because you can't get along with people who work with you. So you will be ultimately a failure, although you are a very good expert teacher or expert professional. That is why it is said that the greatest wealth of life is relationships. Not money, not prestige, not power, not influence, not position. That cannot be the wealth of life. True satisfaction and happiness can be derived only by rich relationships in life. And I remember my Guru Maharaja told one time that it is not that you expect somebody to do something for you. You have to first invest in the relationship. First you have to begin. You cannot say, yes, you have to first invest in the relationship to get some result. You cannot just expect others to invest first and then you respond. Response should be from other side. We should first invest. Take an opportunity to develop. That's why these sadhus, now, like you see, people are flocking around them because they are always first giving. Kindness and love and affection, sacrifice, they are first doing. So the followers then in response they fall in love with them and then say, I will do anything for this person, because when I have not done anything for this person, that time this person had come and helped me. That means beginning score was 0-0, but he began with something and then I responded. So always he is the first. So that first thing what he has done to me without anything in the background, it has impressed me, because that time I had nothing, no, there was no relationships, there was no interaction, there was no exchange. But he or she came in the first in the picture and offered herself in sacrifice for me. And that's how the whole relationship has begun. And the saintly people are very expert in that, you know. Because they want to win hearts of others. And why they want to win the hearts of others? Because they want to give God to them ultimately. Right? They have the biggest gift of God's love. But to give that also, we have to have some relationship, you know. You can't walk on the road and say, hey, come here, I want to give my Lord's love to you. He said, who are you? I don't know you. I don't trust you. So there has to be relationship first, right? Then only one can expect oneself to give even God's love to others. To unknown people, you cannot give God's love. You have to know them first. Today I spoke in the temple, one lecture in the morning. So there Prahlad's story was there. Prahlad said same thing. He said, you may be very God conscious, but unless you develop friendship with people, you cannot even give God's love to them. So friendship is the first important thing. Friendship means relationships. Friendship means exchange of favorable things with one another. Right? Friendship means helping them in need. So all of us should understand, at the end of the life, you may have so many things in life. You may have prestige, you may have powers, you may have position, you may have so much of things with you, knowledge, contacts, information, resource. But everything fails at the moment of death. Everything is destroyed by the course of time. And what you have in the end of your life is people who love you. They may not be rich or they may not be poor. They may not be beautiful, they may not be ugly looking. They may not be black, they may not be white. But you have people, living entities, living people to love you that can help you to face the challenge of death in the end. So all of us have to understand that. Specifically, people who love you are most important for you. And they may not be your business participants. They may not be equal in status with you as per your standard of living. But we need people who love. That's why these rich people, no? So sometimes they fall in relationship with some simple person, no? Because they know that everyone who comes to us is to get something from us. Rich man means they always want something from them. Kuch na kuch donation chahiye, ya kuch job chahiye, ya some words you should put to this person to get my business deal done. Or something they are expecting always, something they are looking. Because you have some resources with you, money, power, influence, contact. So how can I make use of that? And one person they meet in life who doesn't come to you for anything. You are rich, you are, everything is there, but I don't expect anything from you. They fall for that person because he is a unique person, because he is not expecting anything from me. And to that person, they will like to give whatever they have. Take, take. But he's not taking. Still not taking. But he said to me, what? No, I don't want anything. And that is why they sell themselves off. The Lord is like that only. What is the nature of the Lord? Everybody goes to Lord. Lord, good wife, please give me. Please good husband. Please good child. Please good marks. Please good promotion. Every time you're asking. Big list. It never ends, you know. Even if it fulfills, it never ends. It just keeps on growing only. And then one person comes and says, my Lord, I just love you. I don't want money, I don't want women, I don't want praise, I don't want kingdom, I don't want na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. I want mama janmani, janmani swore. I want your devotion, birth after birth after birth. So Lord says, really, it is false for him. Because you know, he's not selfish. He's simply here to love. So biggest people on earth and the biggest person of the whole creation, the Lord, they always fall for people who are not having any motivation. That is why, you know, we find our chairman, Mr. Mufatlal, talking to any small person in the temple who is absolutely nowhere to stand in front of him. But he will go and relate to him, you know, so nicely, because he knows that this will not expecting anything from me. He will give me a loan or some money or something, you know, some job laga dega. They don't expect anything. Somehow we are trained in our temple not to approach rich people for selfish benefits. If any donor comes also, we don't go for ourselves. Saab, apne donation de diya hai, barsan hai ke ammi, mera bhi ek job laga dena mere ladke ko. Aisa kabhi koi baat nahi karenge. They will not talk about it. But that will put off the person. Immediately he has come to the Lord and is offering something to the Lord, and now you are putting something your own between, and then his devotion to Lord is going to get minus from there. So I came, and then these people are, everybody is asking something from me. So they are devotees, but they ask for donation for the Lord, Janmashtami. But then one is saying that, give me a job to my son, another is saying, give me some loan, and somebody is saying, can you give me a flat free for 1 month to stay there? So he said, all expecting only to me. The way is devotion to the Lord. The Lord is only a namesake is existing. Ultimately, selfishness is existing. So he will go away. So you can imagine how much it affects. So what would Prabhupada do? Prabhupada will meet people, and he will not say, give me $1,000 and this thing. He will say, take the name of the Lord and chant. And finally, what will that person will do? When he will say, Swamiji is not expecting anything from me, he will offer his life to him. And when life comes, is what? Your money is offered, your position is offered, all your contacts are offered, your resources are offered, everything is offered. So why take money and lose the person? Don't take money and get the full person inside. Yes, sir. This is, sadhu is like that. He will not like to take your things to the Lord. He will like you to take you to the Lord. But when you come, your money, your family, your everything comes with you. When money comes, only money comes and you go away. This is so intelligent. We have to be not penny wise and pound foolish. You should be always thinking that how to do a overall welfare, comprehensive welfare, not partial welfare. In the personal welfare, you may have big monuments coming up with lot of donations coming up, but people will not come. People will say, okay, take my money and bye, see you next year. Again, next year you come on the festival, take money from me, but don't call me, I'm not coming. But he will go somewhere where he will feel his heart is there, and he will not feel exploited. So why sadhus are most popular people, at least among the followers? Because they always are giving, they are not taking from them. They give love, they give devotion, they give name of the Lord, they give knowledge. And recently I heard in one of the lecture that like you breathe, what is happening in breathing? You are taking in and taking out, right? Just try to only take in. How much time you can take in? No, you will get suffocated. Or you just try to give, don't try to take in the air. You know what happens? Again, same thing happens. So constantly you have to keep taking in and keep taking out. Then only the whole process will keep working and life will go on. Right? So similarly, if you get money, always donate money for God's purposes. Don't just keep with you. When you keep with you, it will create problem for you. Always have to part with it for charity, for God's services. Otherwise, the same money will remain with you and cause problem for you, because it will cause disturbance to you. What do I have with? Somebody will fight for you with the money. Similarly, when you get knowledge, if you don't give anybody, what happens? You forget yourself. Knowledge will go away from you. But if you keep giving others, then what happens? You will also remember, and it will grow also, and others also will be benefited. So take knowledge, immediately give knowledge to others. Earn money and also keep participating or party, how do you call that? Parting with it for holy causes. Any good thing a sadhu receives, he always wants to share with everybody else. If he gets some more realization, he will want to share with others immediately. And by sharing, his process of acquiring knowledge goes on increasing, goes on becoming richer and richer and richer. So progressive life means you take, but you keep giving also. And that is why the relationships keep growing. When you keep giving, keep investing in the relationship, keep accepting, keep accommodating, keep adjusting, then the relationships keep growing. So don't think that in love, experience of love in a relationship starts from the beginning, day one. It's the end result actually. When you invest, when you undergo the process sincerely and you wait patiently, then the day will come when you will feel loving experience in the relationship. And if you have plenty of them in your life, you are the richest person in life. You may be a pauper staying in a hut, you may have no money, but you are the richest person in the earth. Because you have love and you have satisfaction. This sounds relevant to you? This sounds practical to you? Whatever I speak. Do you have some experiences in life which can fit in these discussions? Huh? If not, at least you can apply this thing to your husband and wife and children. And so many families are broken today. Huh? Mother can't get along with child, child can't see the mother's face, and father can't see son's face.
Very selfish.
Even in family life also, you understand, if it is not God conscious family life, then mother, father, brother, sister, everybody is only selfish. They will see, yesterday Dr. Sankhya, what you are telling, what is in there for me? Whatever you do in life, in whatever we do in, what is there for me in this? First consideration is that. And that is the whole root of cause there. What will I get out of this? If I am discussing some meeting with you, first I will say, is my benefit kya hai? If I have to come picnic with you, what is my benefit in that? First I will think. And the same thing goes on in marriage also. When the husband is looking for a girl, wife is looking for a husband, they will see ki how he will satisfy me. And he will see how she will satisfy me. If he thinks how will I satisfy her, and if she thinks how will I satisfy him, then the relationship will keep growing. If in the relationship I think that husband will happy, make me happy, and wife will feel that husband will feel ki she will make me happy, then very soon they will have conflicts and fight.
Today confidence in each other is less.
is also nothing.
Suspiciousness has
increased. Doubt, suspicion. So that's why the you have child and you love them so much and raise them so much of love, child grows up and then you can't accept the child and child can't accept you as mother. Because of the selfishness involved. So we all have to cross our hearts and see in our, even our relationships as mother to child, child to mother, father to son, son to father, and sisters and sisters, brothers and sisters, brothers, see how much element of selfishness is there, and that much we are far. And how much relationship of selflessness is there, of giving is there, that much we are close. You can see, five brothers are there, and two are very close, and two are okay, and two are absolutely two poles apart. Because of the selfishness element only, no other element is there. So again, if we need to grow a relationship, first us, me, have to give up the selfish attitude first. If it has to come to level of forgiving, first I must forgive. If it has to come to sacrifice, first I must sacrifice. Then only the things will happen. Otherwise, forget about it.
Sir, but sometimes always you keep on forgiving, people take advantage of it. And always you are...
That is right.
That is there.
But while forgiving, you can make them also understand and educate them also.
That thing is not there. Receiving such things. Some people are like that. So it's very difficult if you keep on forgiving. Sometimes you realize that you should, somewhere you should be
firm and strict. That is there, that is there.
Should be stopped somewhere. Like that means with experience I'm saying.
But this is all is true when people are not devotees of the Lord. A simple thumb line, thumb, what do you call that? Thumb rule. When you are not devotees of the Lord, you don't believe. When your relationship is not around the Lord or with the Lord somewhere, you know, I am confident that when I am talking to you, there is Lord in our discussion. So I am confident, very confident in this forum that our relationships are based on spirituality and God is connected with that discussion. So many things can be spoken, nice things over here. But if I come to know that none of you are interested in God and I am also not interested in God and we are only for business over here, then all these things will happen. Then forgiving, nobody will care for you. They will take you for granted and your life will be unhappy.
Both the people should be on that ground.
That is why essential aspect of our discussion, is that we have to be having faith in the Lord. That is the essential criterion. No, we cannot talk these languages to people who are atheistic, people or people who are envious or people who are not devoted to God. To these people, we cannot talk this language of this book. Discussion can't take place.
Then, sir, somewhere the family plus our primary education is lacking in this. Because today, children are thrown with this that God is not there.
Godless civilization, bolte hain usko. Cultivation from beginning is godless civilization. Upbringing is godless civilization. You don't need God. You have computers, you have money, you have mobiles, you have resources. Why you need God? You live your life happily, be truthful to everybody. You don't need God for that. And that's how you become impersonal.
Because now the family, they don't have any picture or anything in the family. And when the child is not seen, the mother or the father, they are with the holding hand, standing in front of something. When they are not developing that culture.
Only when they see parents folding hands to some deity, some lord, they will do in their life the same thing. They not seen that if you are settled in America right from birth and there is nothing like that. And when they see people
in India also,
that is true. It's happening everywhere. The Kali is penetrating everywhere, you know. In families it is penetrating, in your heart it is penetrating, in your society it is coming up, it is in your college it is coming, school is coming, working place is coming. So how to defeat that? You cannot just accept it. You attack me, I will just surrender to you. And I will get ruined. How can it possible? You have to defend somewhere. Defense one is holy name of the Lord. The defense is that you chant the holy name of the Lord every day. So you get your defense. And second thing is you invest in godly relationships. You just can't have everybody godless around you, you know, by default. Kya karu main? Mere building mein bhi aise log hain, mere ghar mein bhi aise log hain. I am just helpless, you know. Now find out, you have to find out a saint or a devotee in your life to be connected to. That is your vaccine. When you are in endemic area or epidemic area, you can't say, kya karenge abhi? I don't have any vaccine, but I have to go there. So you will get disease and you will die there, right? So by hook or crook, you will find a hospital where the vaccine is there before you go to that place. Otherwise, you will not go to that place. So we are very happily moving in the material world without any contact with saintly people. So what is expected? Only frustration, unhappiness, broken relationships, broken hearts. And that's what everywhere is happening. Mothers are ditching children, children are ditching mothers, wives are ditched by husbands, husbands are ditching wives. Why is that? Because godless cultivation of life and no love and no relationships. Only selfishness. Mother Teresa said also same thing. If you read Radhanath Maharaj's book also, there one saintly person has said in between that, all the root cause of suffering in the whole creation is selfishness. Every kind of suffering in life, the root is selfishness. And selfishness goes away, happiness comes in immediately. And that may be, you may be millionaire, you may be trillionaire, you may be pauper on the road. But both the cases, if you are selfish, both the cases, you are miserable. And you are millionaire, you are pauper, but you are not selfish, you will have happiness in life. That's why God is a very important person to be connected to. It is not something like, you know, my choice or my habit or hobby. I am also God conscious. I also love God. By the way, I also believe in Him. Yes, he has to be in center in life. What are you saying?
But then, like, if you are there in the material world, sometimes there is a limitation. How can you be, and how much you can be a selfless? Sometimes some things or some moments come in your life where you have to be like if you cannot hurt everyone, but
not please everyone.
Yeah.
That is why spiritual life is not individual. Spiritual life is a community life. There is a community of devotees. In the olden times, you know, you go to villages. The villages would be devotees of the Lord. They will have a central deity in the village. Asana Gav Devta. You have seen, na? Everywhere there is a village and there is a temple where everybody gathers and they all go to the festival, all go to prayers every day. They do before going to work, they put their dandavat there. They come back and they also again offer dandavat in the evening. Their whole life is centered around that person, the deity, the Lord. And everybody is unanimously with that. Today also, I go to my hometown, there is a temple. Their whole life is there only. Their questions, their answers, their queries, all are there only. That's it. Such simple it is. You don't have to go to America for solving a problem. Everything is solved there. Because it's a community. A community which is believing in God and community lives like that. Their whole lives are practically living like that. Idhar kya hai? In the whole community, I'm a scarce person in the community who's a devotee. Everybody else is like, you know, completely as a berserk. In my society, in my building, only happen to be one person who is devoted to God. Everybody else is like full-fledged. Then the difficulty comes. Then you cannot, you know, then you have to protect yourself. So some selfishness has to be maintained. No, I will not send my child to that person's party because they always booze and smoke there in the party. I can't risk my child to go there. So that way I have to protect that much at least. But if I am in a community of devotees, I go to a temple and I have got 50 God brothers who are going on a picnic, I am not bothered about these things. I will offer myself fully, you know. Because they fear what they fear is their destruction of their moral values. No? Suddenly I accept you, then what happens? Sorry, I have to accept a person drinking and something will happen. It will disturb our decor over here. With great effort I have made the decor here and now suddenly one person will enter and spoil the decor. So that protection has to be there. So to that degree selfishness is alright, because the selfishness is not actually for your material gain, it is for your spiritual gain. That is not wrong. If I were to say, no, I will not send my child to your party, it's not arrogance. It is, I want to maintain some sanity and some dignity of my spiritual life. So I cannot just risk my child out of friendship's sake or for social sake or for some. I cannot do that. I may appear to be very unsocial to some people. Like, you know, practical example, I'm telling you, my brother's daughter's marriage is coming this month end. Okay? And My different brothers are different. My one brother is quite devoted, other is okay, and one is totally not interested at all. So when one brother's daughter got married, I saw that there was no onion, garlic, everything was offered to the Lord, and everybody who came for the marriage got prasad. But with next brother is not possible. So I also go and ask, anything is there for me, eating for me? I'll have to inquire on the day of marriage. I have to actually inquire. So accordingly, I will do the needful. If nothing is there, I'm not going to eat also. I'm going to see that I will go to somebody's house and take my lunch there. So I will appear very unsocial because hey, brother, no, his own brother didn't eat lunch there. But if that kind of care is taken, okay, one of my brother is a devotee of Hare Krishna, he doesn't take onion garlic. So I have to make some meal for him at least. He's my family member, it's a ghar ka shaadi hai. If he takes that precaution, then I will honor that precaution and that love. But if that precaution is not taken, that care is not taken, then I'll say fine, it's all right. I will go to marriage, do all my services, serve everybody, everything, and I will go and eat my prasadam outside in the house. It's like that. So there are some fundamentals, you know, there are some fundamentals which you cannot risk in life. Like for the friendship sake, you cannot give me non-veg food to eat. For friendship sake, you can't say, have one rump peg, you know, what is the problem? You know, I've been 25 years I'm not taking anything. One peg will not cause disturbance to your spiritual life. No, that I cannot compromise. So there are some basics which we should never compromise in life, for God's sake. And rest, other things you can adjust, you know, fine. But fundamentals you cannot do. That there where we have to get, there we have to be very clear. Okay, this is what my life is, and if you accept me as I am, then fine. I will adjust somewhere, but I will not adjust with my principles for your sake, you know. Then I have to say no, frankly. My brother cannot tell me ki kya hai wo meri shaadi ki ladki ki to saal mein jeevan mein ek hi baar aayegi na. So what if you eat onion garlic sabji in that day? He says, sorry madam, sorry sir, I am sorry for that. I will take chawal and dahi if it's available, I don't mind, I'll take. But don't take, force me to take this also and this also. I will not be able to honor that. And if you feel really taking lunch is so important for you, then you will care for that, you will adjust for that. Somebody is very important for you, you will do everything for him. So what if I have diabetes and I can't take any sweets, so you will make something for me. If you love me so much, then you will do that for me. I said, so again, relationships. Everything is based on relationships. If relationship is there, then one brother's marriage, I went in the kitchen, I ordered all the cooks, the way they're cooking, I told them this is what I want, and before you do anything, I don't want anybody to taste anything, I'll come, make the plate, I'll offer, I'll put the altar on the marriage center place, and I'll offer there in front of everybody, ghanti and everything, because I have my relationship with that brother. Another brother, I will not even do anything like that, and I will be cautious before I do anything, because relationships are different and everything matters, you know. I say a sly word to you, you will not mind if the relationship is good, but if the relationship is not there, you will be boiling. How can you say this to me? How dare you? What do you think of yourself? These things will come out. And my relationship is there, I say something here and there, and she says okay, same, all right. Everything is based on relationships. What I talk to you and what liberty I can take in talking to you is all based on relationships. And that we can't do with everybody, you know, there is some understanding behind it. So it is so unique and so special. Relationships are so unique and special ki even in one family, there are children of one mother and father, but there is also differences there, no? My relationship with my immediate sister is very good, and the one is very far from me in age, I have got little bit, you know, father-like relationship, mother-like relationship. Who are two elder to me, like second generation in my house, you know. They are very close and I am like their son only. But to this immediate siblings, I am like very close, we played together. But he was like my teacher when I was growing in school. And there is difference. So how can we underestimate the value of relationships? How we can do that? And another experience is that in the family also, to the people with whom you have sacrificed and helped in the past, that relationship is better than the other relationships. If you have gone to drop your brother at station every time whenever he was going to his job outside, he would come on vacation, every time you would go and receive him, every time you would go and drop him in the train. If you have done that, then that relationship is very strong. And others have not done that, then you don't have strong relationships. So small things matter, you know. Every time you travel, you have cooked and taken something for him. Every time you went to his house, you brought something for him as a gift. All these things keep on mattering you. Keep on, they matter a lot. And that's how the relationship comes up. And after 50 years, you come to know, you know, 50 years back I got operated. And you know, Dada, you were there with me in the hospital and carrying me on your shoulders when I was a small baby, operated. So that's how it is. There were in the love and tears flow immediately after that. Because you have invested so much in that. That is not there. He may be your blood brother. You know, the same womb has been shared with you and your mother. But that is not going to happen. So I request all of you, see that you develop relationships in life. Don't just live mechanical lives, you know. Earning money, prestige, fame, position. It never will satisfy you. Never. Only relationship will satisfy you. It could be with your relationship in family. It could be with neighbors, friends, colleagues. But this has to be there. Any question? Somehow this is a very dear topic for me. I like this topic very much. It will fulfill your lives. It will make your life satisfied and happy. If you have this understanding, then if you live like that. I always get inspired by my Gurudev. You know, so many people love him in the life. And if you go for his birthday celebration, there are supposed to be people offering their gratitude to, you know, in speech, they will come on microphone and speak there. How they feel grateful for him. And you will find that everybody will speak that he loves me so much, you know, you have done so much for me. Everybody has done so much for everybody. How it is possible, you know? But whenever he is with them, he is with them, and whatever he can do for them, he does for them. And that touches their heart. And then 50 years back, somebody has been touched by him, they will not forget that. Oh, that time, you know, when I was, my mother died, Guru Maharaj, you were there with me to put your hand on me, you consoled me. I was so much needed, I was needing the help that time. You were there, Guru Maharaj, that time. So how can you forget that? So he does everything, everybody, the same thing. How I can help them, how I can serve them is the only meditation of his. And he will reach out to everybody who needs him. He may not have slept and there is some emergency, he will sacrifice his sleep and go there and give time to them. So this is their expertise, because they love Lord, truly they love all Lord's part and parcel also, and offer them in service to them. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.